If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This week in PlayStation, we're talking about, are we getting a PS5 Slim this year? Are these Last of Us Part 3 rumors true? And will Spider-Man 2 be a 90 or better on Metacritic? We'll have all this and more because this is PSI Love You XOXO. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Greg. That's Blessing. Janet's been bitten by a snake, and you can get this show on patreon.com/kindoffunny. There you can watch us record it live, get it ad-free, and get dozens of monthly episodes of exclusive content. If you have no bucks to toss our way, support us on the Epic Game Store, Fortnite, Rocket League, or Fall Guys with the creator code kindoffunny. You can get PSI Love You XOXO for free with ads and without all that cool exclusive content on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by Shady Rays, but let's start with a PSN message from you. Hey, Bless.
Hey, Greg.
We did it. We dropped the dead weight. No, finally. Janet Garcia.
I've been asking for it for a year and a half now.
It was a big topic of discussion. When Janet got this new apartment, when she suddenly thinks she was better than us. And now we have our answer, yes.
Hate to see it.
You hate to see it. No, Janet actually is doing us a favor, of course. She can't join us because we are recording PS I Love You even earlier than usual. Wednesday, July 5th. Of course, there was a holiday, July 4th, which kind of threw all of Kind of Funny's programming into a funk because you got to get do this and do the thing, blah, blah. So we're here. So if by chance, what are the odds this is going to happen? But if a July 6th something major happens in PlayStation, remember this was recorded before that happened. So Jim Ryan, keep your goddamn emails private and shut your yap, all right? I don't have time for something else to happen in PlayStation.
Let me tell you about my cats, all right? I love these cats. These cats are great.
The best thing is it doesn't matter to Gary, to CJ, to Joey. They, of course, are watching live on patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like you can. And a special shout-out to Nick Evans. Nick Evans live in the chat. His flight keeps getting delayed. So we're happy you have time to be with us today, Nick, and you can watch his live recording.
I've been there, done that.
Get me started. I don't want to think about SGF. I don't want to think about SGF. Instead, we'll go to my dog, Nick, 96, from Massachusetts, who writes in and says, hello, PSILY. Remember, you can write in to be part of the show for free at kindoffunny.com/PSILY, just like Nick did from the great state of Massachusetts. July 8th, 2023 marks the 15th anniversary of the launch of trophies on PSN. With that in mind, I thought I'd write in with a few of my favorite trophy memories. Nick, speaking of my heart, young man. The first starts with the first game to have trophy support, Super Stardust HD for the PS3. I believe Greg was hyping up trophies on Beyond back then, and I bought in. Blessing? I was.
You were?
I was hyping up trophies.
I was listening.
15 years ago. How old were you? What were we doing 15
years ago? 2008? Ooh, I was a sophomore in high school.
I was 13.
Okay.
I was 14?
Okay. I bought Super Stardust HD and eventually got all the trophies for the game and for the DLC later on. This was my first Housemarque game, and from then on, I was a believer in the developer. Hell yeah, Housemarque fans. Let's get together. Get behind. Everybody's here now. Everybody's running around talking about Returnal. We were there.
Where were you back then?
Where were you then?
Where were you?
13-year-old Barrett? What
July
were you
18, still living in Ohio.
Were you doing drama yet? No, you weren't.
No,
yeah, that was the SSF. That was SSF stuff. Yeah. So you were just over there being
a punk.
I was
playing drums. Yeah, listening to Fall Out Boy. Yep.
The second game, this is back to my dog Nick, 96. The second game is Uncharted Drake's Fortune. Prior to trophies, Uncharted had its own in-game achievements. I was in college and didn't have a lot of money, but I had Uncharted, and I got all the achievements. Later, when the game was patched, the trophies mirrored the achievements in that game. I loved the game so much, I got all the trophies, completing it again, and getting my first platinum. Because, of course, Superstardust didn't have a platinum, remember? That was when it was like, oh, that's just a downloadable game. Mm. That's less than.
Mm.
And nowadays, of course, PlayStation just gives people,
now those
calls
them
less than, nobody thinks about it. Nobody thinks. Mm. You know what I mean? Doing it again, that'd be a thing. Because that's what's been the backbreaker for me with that Nathan Drake collection they put out. Where it was like, hey, Uncharted 1, 2, and 3 are here, and they look better than ever. You can platinum again. And I was like, I remember screaming into a fucking pillow with Uncharted, Drake's Fortune, with one of the pirate, you know, monster closets. I don't need to do that again. But Nick did it for no reward, or an in-game reward, which doesn't count, and then did it for the real reward of a PlayStation trophy, which I appreciate, but it is lunatic behavior.
1,000%. Who would waste time?
Doing it for nothing.
doing it for nothing.
For nothing. An in-game achievement nobody cares about. You can't see it.
For sure.
PSN trophy, people can see that. That's cool.
Of course.
The third game I wanted to mention is Hot Shots Tennis. The game is one of the PS2 titles on PlayStation 4 and doesn't have a platinum. However, the rarest trophy I have is from this game. It is a straight A student, a bronze trophy that requires you to get A rank in all of the training drills. I can't remember if there were 4 or 5, but on one of my days off work, I played for about 7 hours
Hell yeah.
to get all these A ranks and eventually got them. At some point later on, I actually received a PSN message from someone asking me if I could get that trophy for them. I never responded, but I always think about that when I think about trophy hunting. That's insane, again, to go do this for this bronze, and then the fact somebody hit you up to do it. I think about some of the unhinged messages I've sent about trophies.
Mm-hmm.
There was one recently, I talked about it on the show already, but when I was playing the game I didn't like that much, it was The Wreck, but I was so close to the thing, but then I couldn't figure out how to get these two trophies, so I went on PSN profiles, found the person who had it, and then messaged them, but then it failed because they had their messages closed off, so then I had to, like, you know, go ask the developer, even though I was like, yo, I gave your game a 2, I think.
What's the most insane thing you've done for a trophy?
God. I mean, when you're enjoying yourself, what's really insane? I mean, like, you know.
Did you get the platinum for Arkham City?
No, I didn't. The Arkham Knight was my first Batman Arkham Platinum because I hated the challenge room so much and the other stuff.
Yeah, I was did you do the Riddler stuff in Arkham City? Because I feel like that's got to be up there.
I did some. I didn't do it to completion.
Yeah,
it was that thing where I'm like, you are being insane. I remember like Dan Hsu from, you know, at the time EGM went up talking and writing about being broken by it or whatever. I was like,
it was 400 plus Riddler trophies.
That's the thing.
You had to get all of them.
That's the thing where it's like, I love a trophy and I love platinum trophies, but there's so many times I just love the idea of the platinum trophy where it does get down to rubber meets the road here, and it's like, you gotta play this game 7 times.
Yeah.
No fucking way.
And that hit me when you know, the question here from Madognik 96, he mentions the PS2 to PS4 games. I remember being so excited when GTA San Andreas was announced for PS4, and it was one of the PS2 to PS4 games, and just the idea of them giving it a trophy list had me in there. I was like, okay, cool, one of my favorite games of all time, they're adding trophies to it, I'm gonna get the platinum. And I start playing it. I think I probably got up to probably San Fierro before I was like, what am I doing? Like,
yeah.
I like this game, but do I want to go and do all these weird things just to get this thing that's going to add to a number? That's kind of where I come back to in terms of like the amount of effort that I'm either willing or not willing to put in. Like, it always has to be a scenario of, oh, I'm having so much fun with this thing that I want to keep playing and I need an extra carrot on the stick. And that's how I define pretty much all my platinum.
For sure.
I think my most insane one, but also one of the ones that sticks out to me because I went to the lengths to do it, would be Rocket League, where I got all the trophies except for one trophy, and I believe it was like I had to drive a certain distance.
Yeah, it's like 500 something kilometers.
Yeah, and it was like when the game first came out too.
Yeah.
I feel like they must have patched it or something, but I remember being like, all right.
No, they never, because I got that trophy like 8 months later. Oh,
really?
Just like naturally playing the game, that became my first platinum because I was just playing Rocket League so much that I eventually popped it.
So I did the unhinged thing, which I saw people online posting
rubber
pictures
band.
Of the controllers with rubber bands on them, and I was like, you know what? Screw it. Let me get a rubber band, and I'm gonna tape my my analog stick one way, and then hold down the R2 button this way, and just have my thing driving in circles while I'm just hanging out elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I did it.
That's a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it. See, and I think the Rocket League Platinum, so many people have talked about it, like Barrett just did, right? Of, oh, well, if you just play the game, you're going to get it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's a great Platinum trophy. And I feel like it's always so sad when I love a game, but I look at it and I'm just like, oh, there's so much shit I don't want to do on here. And like right now, one of my great examples would be the WWE 2K games. The last two, which I feel are so great. However, I go in and I look at what they want me to do for trophies, and I'm just like, dude,
Yeah.
No, like one of them is like right now in the current one, I'm speaking a bit out of turn and my PSN profiles are private right now because of reviews. There's one on there that is like, you know, win 100 or play. I mean, it's either win or it might just be play 100 my faction or faction warfare, faction war matches or whatever, which are 4v4 things with four of your characters. And I'm like, I fucking hate 4-man tag matches, 8-man tag matches. Like, I do not want to play 100 of them. No fucking way.
Yeah.
Shit like that sucks. I'd rather just be like, play X number of matches throughout your entire life with the game. Sure. Okay, fine. That's one
thing.
It could be annoying too.
Games like that should be like such a slam dunk for trophy lists because it is, oh, here are all these different modes that you have. This is a game that's meant to be replayable and you're doing matches. So it should be, hey, do this kind of move while you're playing as this character against this character and recreate this moment. That should be a trophy. Or like, try out my faction mode and try or play, like five things in my story mode or whatever it is. Like, it should be more of a, like, you're trying different things out. That's why I liked, I believe Tekken 7 had a trophy list that was really well made for that because I have that platinum as well. And when I get fighting games, trophy lists are the first thing I look through because that is my carrot on the stick. That is my what I look for progression. And so Tekken 7, you know, that has like a story mode that's a few hours long. And I went through that. I believe one of the trophies was like a practice mode thing, did that, did whatever the online stuff was, did all the different modes. And it was, hey, experience this game. Like, that is what getting the platinum is in Tekken 7. Experience the breadth of this game. And I absolutely love that about it. On a opposite note, Mortal Kombat 10. Yeah, Mortal Kombat X had a trophy list that one of the trophies, and I remember trying so hard to get this trophy, and it just broke me, was win 10 ranked matches in a row. And there were so many times where I would get up to 9 ranked matches, and I'd lose the 10th one, and it would break me. Like, absolutely break me. And, like, that's one of those things where it's like, sure, I have control over it, but I also don't. Like, so much of this comes down to my opponent's skill and my skill and how that matchup is going to go. And it's so hard to get a 10-game win streak on a fighting game. And so that's one
that's the weirdest thing about it, where developers, obviously, what's awesome and fascinating about video games is everybody has a different opinion about every different aspect of it. And so it's always interesting to see developers think, and I'll go to Naughty Dog, right, and see them make the Uncharted trophy list and the Last of Us trophy list how they used to be and be like, we nailed it. This is what we want you to do, right? We want you in Uncharted, right, to go grind out kills with the AK or grind out kills with the rocket launcher. And then Last of Us, right, like, maybe you lose factions, maybe you don't, but, you know, you got to do it twice. You got to do this. And just be like, and then to see finally that feedback made it to them, or at least the people making the trophy list, that we really care about this shit, and it, like, have it be a more curated, more fun thing like Last of Us Part 2's was, in terms of like, cool, you can play this and it doesn't feel like you're slamming your head into a brick wall over and over again. But you run into games like that are, okay, you know, go ahead and win 10 matches in a row, which sucks to try to do because, you know, that's just like, come on. And but you have to imagine, like, on the developer side of it for NetherRealm or for whatever example you want to insert, they're like, well, we want this to be a prestige thing. We want this to really reward our fan base, yada, yada, yada. And I feel like for me personally, that's such a antiquated and gatekeepy way to do it. Like, I think it should be, hey, I really enjoy Mortal Kombat X. So I've gone through, and there can be something that is win an obscene number of matches, period. Like, you know, what? But there should be a way of like, yo, it's not like every part of it is doing something weird, or you have to, you know, play this game full time. And I think to take the WWE example again, right? Like, if I was me playing WWE 2K23 the way I was me playing No Mercy, like, if this was dropping and I was in high school, it would be a different conversation I would get, bet. Because it would be, sure, I don't like this thing, but what else am I going to do on Tuesday night? I'm going to listen to video game podcasts. I'm going to do this for 5 hours before I go to bed. I'm not touching my homework. I'll tell you that right now. Right? There'd be that argument to it, but then there are so many different people playing games. And so it is a weird thing of trophy lists that aren't inclusive. And I don't know if they don't need to be. I'm not arguing everything should be designed for me in mind, but I feel like you get more juice from that. I feel like if you have a good list, when it would be like, okay, cool, it's dropping for, you know, free play weekend or whatever, you know, PS Plus, you'd be able to jump in there and be like, oh, okay, cool, I'm going to do this and get enough out of it and get some trophies. And get easy trophies if you wanted to, if you're just trying to pad your numbers.
Yeah.
But I understand people want it. But then
I don't think it should be impossible, though.
I also doubt that people like at 2K, no offense, are sitting there going like, we want this to be a prestige platinum. I think it's them just being like, yo, we got a bunch of modes in this thing.
Yeah.
Let's just do this way. Not thinking like, I fucking hate those matches. I would love to play it. You know, I forget if I talked about it on this show, or I've mentioned it before, but when we did the When I went to Royal Rumble and interviewed all the superstars, I interviewed Cody Rhodes, and he was like, yeah, it's really cool to be in this new WWE game, right? Because last year I joined the Federation right as the old game came out, and the creation community, they stepped up and made me a lot. And I said, and I made a joke immediately. I was like, oh yeah, we're putting them all out of business because you're in the game now. Let's look at your character. And someone in the creation community really got pissed off about that and made a big thing about it. Mm. And when they were trying to insult me and attack my credibility, they went to my trophies, which I really respected. Yeah. And they're like, this guy didn't even finish the Rey Mysterio showcase in 2K22. For me, I was like, yeah, I don't like that mode. I don't like being told what to do. And like, my time is so finite. I have so little time to play video games that I just don't have time anymore to sit there and be like, well, I want the trophy. Yeah. I'm going to go through and do all this, because there was a million other trophies where I'm like, these are also way too time consuming. I'm never going
to
get them.
Yeah. So for you, do you have a trophy memory that sticks out to you?
I mean, you know me. I've talked to trophies for in the entirety of their 15 years, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, yeah, I mean, you know, trying to ace every little Big Planet level to get that platinum, finally doing it huge. I'm still very proud that like my most rare platinum is the SingStar Celebrity thing, because it was like, you had to get, I forget how many obscene likes on a thing, but because I was able to motivate Podcast Beyond to go do it, they did it. You know, Infamous, I was the first platinum in the world. Don't worry about PSN profiles. It sucked. And that was a huge, I mean, again, like, it's so funny now, right? Because you think of like how many people we know in the industry. You think of how easy Twitter is to get a response from any brand, anything, right? Mm. But it was such a crazy, like, Infamous will go down as like, just, I can't believe it all worked out. Because it was that I obviously was reviewing the game, so I had early access. Then it was, I got down to needing one blast shard. And if you remember, there were the blue dots that were just there. There was no like locator that you could like see everything on the map. You had to like run around and find stuff. And so when I couldn't find that last one, this is how old I am and how old this story is. I took my digital camera and I took photos of the screen of every map. Mm. Then I went to IGN. I printed them out. And then I went block by block in Empire City and crossed everything out in red Sharpie. But the problem was, I finally got there and I crossed out everything on the map. Like, I had gone through the entire map and not found it. And then on a lark at IGN, I did something and I saw it. It was on water. And I got it and I popped the plat and I flipped out. And I tweeted about it, and Sucker Punch, which again is so funny because who would care nowadays, but Sucker Punch at the time responded and was like, you are the first person to platinum the game in the world. And it was like such a cool moment of like being a nobody video game person and having the company actually respond to it and actually have that thing.
That's awesome.
That was a huge moment for me. Yeah. And then of course I love my DC Universe Online platinums and stuff like that. But
hell yeah.
I love trophies. Now, you don't have many platinums, but do you have one that stands out? Do you have one trophy that stands out?
I mean, the ones that I mentioned already, right? Like the 10, even though I didn't get this one, but the going after the 10 ranked matches, I remember that memory so vividly. Shout out to the Shadow of Mordor trophy list, because that's a platinum that I got. And I think that was my first platinum, actually.
Yeah.
And that just came from me loving that game so much that I didn't want to stop playing, and loving the Nemesis system, loving the combat system. God, bring back the Nemesis system. But getting so...
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, hopefully. It won't be there. But like...
You don't think so? They made such a big deal about like, oh man, like we copyrighted it and this is that and that. And that.
Yeah, but that was like a billion years ago. And that was probably when they still thought they were going to make more Lord of the Rings games. They made Shadow of War and we're like, all right, fuck it, we're done. but like, I just got so deep into Shadow of Mordor that I just wanted, I wanted to do everything. I wanted to play more. And I think just having that extra thing of like, you know what? I've never gotten a platinum before. This is my platinum. I'm going to do it. And finally getting that first platinum ever for me just meant so much. So yeah, shout out to that one. I think like, Spider-Man was a fun one, right? Like,
yeah,
I can't Spider-Man. Think of like any of the individual trophies, but I just, you know, loved clearing out that game. That's the thing is, I fall in love with trophy lists when a game speaks to me, bless you. A game speaks to me so strongly that I have that urge to 100% it.
For
right?
sure.
And so 100%. Spider-Man was one of those. Shadow of Mordor was one of those. Rocket League was one of those, right? And like, I love when a game enters that list.
Yeah. Yeah, Spider-Man was a great platinum. Ghost of Tsushima was a great platinum. Spider-Man, I remember that was the first time I made a... not the first time, I should say. It was a time I made a complete fool out of myself to Brian from PS5 Trophies, where I hit him up and I'm like, yo, dude, like, I'm down to this last hidden trophy, but I don't know what it is. Have you popped it? And he's like, you know, like, 5 months ago, they patched a thing that you can hit square on any hidden trophy to find out what it is. I was like, what? like, That's oh, awesome. Man, I'm a fucking moron. And I had to go to Uncle Ben's grave. No big deal.
Rest in peace.
Let's move. Well, first off, happy trophies. Happy trophy birthday. Happy 15 years trophy. Thank God you came around and invented this system that has just given us so many amazing achievements in games. I love that. Moving on.
First?
Moving on.
Wasn't there?
Let's move on to topic of the show. What I want to do, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Greg Miller,
is gamble.
Oh.
I wanted to make some PS5 bets. These aren't limited to this year, but a lot of them are from this year. And a lot of them are ripped from the headlines. Mm. There's a lot of rumors. There's a lot of scuttlebutt going around right now about PlayStation games, consoles, things of that nature. FTC filings, cats. What I thought we'd do is run through some, make our bets. What do we think? Yes or no? Give a date, whatever it's going to be, a score maybe on some of them. Have some fun there. But then, of course, I opened it up to you, ladies and gentlemen, on kindoffunny.com/PSILY. Many of you wrote in with your own burning bets you'd like to see us do. And I figure we can make about 15, 16 pizza bets and see what happens from here.
Man, are you ready to buy that many pizzas?
I don't think you are. Oh, you ready to buy that many pizzas is the real question. So I want to start with one that is, at least for us recording on Wednesday, one of the hottest topics. Mm-hmm. Is the PS5 Slim coming out this year? If you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, I'll take you over to IGN.com where Wesley Yinpool writes, Microsoft believes Sony will release a PlayStation 5 Slim later this year, priced $399.99, according to a court document. The document was released as part of the FTC versus Microsoft trial to determine the fate of the proposed preliminary. We don't care about that part. In a paragraph on price, Microsoft attempts to convince the judge the Nintendo Switch should be considered in the same market as the Xbox Series X consoles and the PlayStation 5, an argument it believes boosts the image of Xbox as losing the price of the console war. In the final sentence in this paragraph, that's sure to ruffle Sony boss Jim Ryan's feathers, as it not only outs the long rumored existence of a PS5 Slim, but its price too. IGN has asked Sony for content. Quote, PlayStation likewise sells a less expensive digital version for $399.99 and is expected to release a PlayStation 5 Slim later this year at the same reduced price point, reads the document. The bombshell continues with Microsoft saying further down, Sony is also anticipated to release a handheld version of the PlayStation 5 later this year for under $300. Of course, this is Project Q. The existence of the PS5 Slim wouldn't come as much of a surprise, given Sony has released Slim versions of its previous consoles. It released a PS4 Slim that replaced the standard PS4 model in 2016, as well as a beefier PS4 Pro that launched shortly after. PS5 launched November 2020 in two forms, with the disc drive for $499 and without for $399. Blessing, is the PlayStation 5 Slim coming out this year?
No. I'm going to say no. It doesn't feel like it times out right. I don't know. Like, it feels like a 2024 thing. The rumors have said 2024 coming from Tom Henderson, Insider Gaming.
Well, this is, again, now we're getting into the even more interesting thing, right? Yeah. Of, like, what's the Slim versus what's the PlayStation 5 without the disc drive?
And, like, is there a PS5 Pro? Because, like, from what Tom has been talking about, right, like, there might be something that's closer to a Pro than even just a Slim model. But I think it's just the idea of a redesign for a PS5, right? And I think it makes sense to do a redesign. At the end of the day, we will get a redesign, whether it's a Pro, whether it's a Slim, whether it's 100%. Whatever. We will get a redesign. I think the question then becomes, what is it and what purpose does it serve for where PlayStation's at right now? We talked about it a bit already, but like I like the thought that, like, you know, it feels like we're still so early in the PS5 life cycle. I think a lot of that just comes from, you know, there's not a lot of games I feel like they're pushing the PS5 to its limit yet, right? It doesn't feel like we're in need of a PS5 Pro. So, and even when we talk about a PS5 Pro, I then think about what are the features, right? And I think they're still lacking there. Around this time during the PS4 era, we could talk about 4K. We could talk about a few other things. We could talk about HDR. I'm not seeing those same buzzwords and features thrown around for what a PS5 Pro could be. So the question is, do we need a PS5 Pro, or do we just save that kind of jump for when we eventually get to the PS6? And so I think a new edition of PS5 would be a $400 iteration that I think would come through and replace the two PS5s we have right now with the disc version and the discless version. I think we get a PS5 that is a bit smaller, no physical, disc drive. That's where we get the detachable disc drive. And I don't know. I feel like this fall is too early for it. I think next fall seems a bit more realistic. What about you? What do you think?
Well, it's that thing we've talked about at length of, okay, I could believe it. When we look at the Pro, like we were talking about earlier today on Kind of Funny Games Daily, right? Like, what? Its announcement came in September, and then it was released in November, right? And I got that right, I think, from what we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And so we're not by any means outside of it, right? We're right there of where it could be like, okay. I don't know in terms of, like, I feel... My argument earlier in the day was, okay, well, you don't want to put this out alongside the remote play device. You don't want to put this out alongside Project Q, because that's a lot of hardware to be coming out at once when you're trying to sell both of them. But then it really is like, what is the argument for Project Q?
Yeah. Are they trying? I mean, I know they're trying to sell Project Q, but are they trying to sell
Project Q? Are they soft selling Project Q?
Yeah.
Project Q literally,
Project
like.
Q, you know, I still look at the same, in the same breath as a DualSense Edge. This is for the hardcore. This is for the people that this speaks to, but it's not something that they're. I don't think Project Q is something that they're going to try and push on that level as if it were a new console or like a console iteration.
Yeah. I'm still going to say no, it's not this year. So that we're on the same side of this bet, but don't worry, we'll get spicy in a second.
Okay.
We're on the same side of this bet where, yeah, I don't think it will be this year. I think, as I said earlier, usually when they do this, going all the way back to, I remember the PS3 redesign, right? At least when I was at IGN, I remember seeing that leak earlier. There was way more rumors of leaking. Now, granted, Tom Henderson's, hey, they're making a PlayStation 5 without a disc drive, has been leaked, and I do think that falls into... I think that is what Xbox is talking about. Mm-hmm. Even though that's never been called the PlayStation 5 Slim, the PS5 Slim, no disc drive, it's slimmer. And Tom's reporting, as we read from Insider Gaming, right?
For the record, we do already have a PS5 without a disc drive.
Great point. Sorry, yeah. The detachable disc drive. You're right. Tom's reporting saying this could mean a smaller form factor. This could mean a slimmer design. I assume that's what is happening. Mm-hmm. Back to why Xbox would say this, I think Xbox is, as always, in this FTC trial, they are making educated guesses as to what's going on, and they're trying to prove their case. They're trying to make the case that, well, this isn't a monopoly and you should let us get Activision Blizzard. So they're going to say stuff that, even though we don't know, and I'm sure PlayStation doesn't want to go on the record as saying when the PlayStation 5 Slim's coming, you toss it out there to make your argument. Because, of course, yes, a PlayStation 5 Slim is coming at some point. Mm-hmm. But is it this year? I say no. You say no as well.
I say no as well. But I actually want to get back to the point about the detachable disk drive. And this Please. Is more so a question, I guess, for you and the audience and people who might know better for tech. Would that connect via USB, or would it literally be something that's built into the console itself? Because the way I think about it would be, oh yeah, you put out a detachable disk drive just so you can phase out the disk version. But like, it would be something that could work with, let's say, if you have a digital only PS5 right now. But like, I might be thinking about that wrong if it's not via USB, because
it is USB. Or at least it would be, again, the rumors that Tom Henderson from Insider Gaming has reported on is the fact that yes, it is going to be a USB
connected. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so it's that way you'd get those fast speeds and everything else and go through that first, the front port or whatever. Well, I guess I don't know what the new PS5 would look like, but yeah, it would be USB-C. Long story short,
USB-C,
it would be USB-C, and I don't know if it would work with PS5 digital onlys right now, if that'd be the way to go for it or whatever.
Okay.
Interesting argument.
So if you're both saying that it's not coming this year, who, like, what happens with the pizza bet then?
Moose, or maybe Muss, writes in to kindoffunny.com/PSILY, just like you can, and says, when will the PS5 Slim be released?
Fall 2024. Is that specific enough for you?
No, because I'm going to say a month that's similar to that. I'm going to say September.
Oh, you're going to say September?
Yeah, September 2024.
I'm going to say November.
Okay. So you're going to go with like the historic.
Yeah.
Where they put the pro before.
Yeah, getting close to Black Friday.
Sure.
Like, that's where you want to start thinking about my thoughts for Christmas.
Here's what I would think, right? I say September because I think you want it on the market already for whatever games PlayStation has for next year. And again, are we going to see a bevy of first-party games come fall? I don't know. I'm not saying that.
Of course, but we got Conquered, and we got Fair Games, and...
Don't get too far ahead of yourself. We're going to talk about all these games. We had a lot of great questions. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, you're watching a banger of an episode. It's going to be a great time talking about games here. But I think you want to get it out before the games that PlayStation would have out in the fall, as well as whatever third parties are working on that year. Mm-hmm. So have it already there for Black Friday, like you're talking about, but have it out before then. But we'll see. Now, here's one from Kebabs before we jump from the PS5 Slim. All right, Kebabs writes in and says, again, we have to agree or, you know, bet with it. The PS5 Slim will not have removable faceplates.
Ooh, see, I think this is a fun one. I mean, why not? Like, it's not. I mean, how much more expensive are removable faceplates? I don't think they're that much more expensive. I think the form factor of the PS5 in general is what like makes it a whole thing. But if you're gonna make a slimmer PS5, I think you still have. Oh, but the question is, do they look the same? And if they don't look the
same, I'm swinging right away and saying no faceplates.
Yeah.
Not only the fact, yeah, when I don't think they care as much about it being interchangeable with PlayStation 5 because they have not taken advantage of that. We have not seen this.
You don't like the maroon color and the purple?
I like them. But I mean, we have not. I mean, like, you understand that, like.
Where are the Spider-Man faceplates? Where are the last
ones? If you were committed to faceplates for the rest of the PlayStation 5 generation, milk that shit, have Ratchet, have this, have a shoe one, have, you know what I mean? Like, I would be doing limited edition PlayStation stuff all the time on the PlayStation store, the PlayStation Direct store. So I think no faceplates, not even so much because of that, because I think they want this to be the, hey, it's smaller, it's slimmer, it's cheap. It's as cheap as it can be right now. And I think, even though it sounds goofy, the sliding in, like any movable part or removable thing, I think adds not a cost in terms of the materials, but a cost in terms of like assembly and doing it, blah, blah, blah. Like, just make a hard case for what it is, make it look like, you know, every other DVR box or whatever the hell it's going to be, and get it out that way.
I feel like them not having faceplates for the next thing is them admitting defeat with the faceplates. I think that's them going, we
fucked up. It's not even a defeat, though. They don't give a shit, right?
They're just like, whatever. Then why do them, you know?
I'm just saying, bless. If the PS5 Slim is as slim as this PS5, like, I don't
How much taller is that, in your opinion?
I think it's the same height. In my head, it's like, what if they go with the same design, right? And even if we have what looks like faceplates, but you can't remove them, like, it looks so. It would look so fragile. I don't even know if I would want to be fucking around with that in that way. You know?
Yeah, I think my thing is, I think we could still get faceplates, but just a different version of them. Because to your point of them missing out on the opportunity to do Ratchet and all this stuff, I just don't think that's PlayStation. I don't think that's who they are. I think they are a company that is, hey, we have a vision, and our vision involves us giving you this piece of hardware that looks like we ripped it out of Detroit Become Human and putting it in your living room, and you're gonna like it. Like, it's gonna be purple, it's gonna be a very specific shade of red, and you're gonna like these colors that we give you, and like, that's what this is. And I think they're gonna double down on that. Like, I think PlayStation is very much into their own aesthetic right now, and so with that, I think, yeah, I think the next thing does get faceplates. If it are they the same like form factor, probably not, because yeah, to your point, if it's this but slimmer, I don't think that makes sense, right? I think you want to change the design a little bit to account for that. But I think they like the faceplates. I think they really like the aesthetic that they've made for the PS5, and they want to stick with it as much as possible. So I'm going to say yes.
I think redesigning it and doing the slims, you have to kill the past, let it die. I'm saying no faceplates. You're saying yes faceplates. I'm writing all this down as if we'll ever look back at this. You know what I mean?
I mean, we might.
The audience has to tell us. We'll never know what we said in this episode. You know how it goes. I want to move on to this next big topic of betting conversation, all right? Mm-hmm. Are we getting another PlayStation showcase this year? Again, there's been so much scuttlebutt around this. We had a disappointing PlayStation showcase this year. And so as soon as it was over, there's pretty much a whole bunch of conversation of like, well, there's rumor that there's going to be another showcase this year, that's going to happen. We're going to get out there, blah, blah, blah. Blessing. Mm-hmm. Are we getting another PlayStation showcase in 2023?
Yes.
You fool. No.
You don't think so?
I think we get, I think you get a PlayStation State of Play. Mm-hmm. I think you get it. I just don't see, like, you want to talk about admitting defeat. I think that would be admitting defeat.
Doing another showcase?
Yeah. Hey, everybody, we're back, and wow, did you fucking hate all those live service games? All right, so here's what you really wanted to know about. Like, what?
See, I don't think it's a reactionary thing. I think this.
You think it was the plan all along?
I think that was the plan all along, yeah. Because there's still so much to talk about for 2024. I think you give us more updates on those games that you showed, right? And again, me saying there's a PlayStation showcase doesn't mean that it's going to be a good PlayStation showcase. I just
sure. Oh yeah, nobody's saying that. Yeah.
I think that there's still just so much more to talk about, right? I think you got to double down and show us more of those games that are coming out next year. I would still venture to think that there's more coming out next year, right? Like right now, our PlayStation 5 2024 games are like one or two of those multiplayer games. I could not tell you which one's got dates. Which
Boy, Hattie, we're excited for them live service games over here.
Concord, Fair Games, Marathon. At least two of them got dates, right? Got Windows. So yeah, we're looking at one of those, and then what else? Like, what's going on with Stellar Blade? I know I bring it up a lot, but it's dated for 2023. You imagine that gets pushed in 2024. You want to update us on that. And then you got to have more. There's got to be at least one or two other first-party things coming out from PlayStation in 2024. If not, it's a fucking disappointing year. And so, yeah, I think you announced those at a PlayStation showcase. Those aren't state of play material if you got PlayStation Studio stuff still.
Still. The big question,
yeah.
Do you still have stuff?
I mean, I don't know if this is part of your bets, but like, there's got Would you think that we have more PlayStation Studios games that haven't been announced yet coming out in 2024?
Well, let's not get there yet.
Okay, let's not get there.
Because this is gets into it. Connor C. writes in about this very topic. It says, I wager that we will get another PlayStation showcase at some point later this year. Whether it's before or after Spider-Man 2 releases, I'm not sure. But we have to get details on the following. And then he goes crazy. Mm-hmm. What Naughty Dog is working on? Factions 2 update or single-player game announcement? A Ghost of Tsushima 2 official announcement? And maybe a tease for Wolverine coming fall 2024.
I mean, I agree with Wolverine.
I was gonna say, out of everything Connor C's put here, I do think Wolverine is the realistic one. I do not think they're Naughty Dog's ready for prime time at all. I think again they were working on Factions. I think Factions was the plan. We are gonna do this, we're gonna do that. Then of course, the further you get down, the more it's not going the way people want to. You back it off, you shrink the team, whatever. Then you put out that statement, right, when Jason Schreier is ready to pull the trigger, saying, yo, everybody, Factions is fucked. You put up that statement of like, yo, we're working on that. We've done this whole thing, but don't forget, we have other single-player IP we're working on too. Like, those single-player IP are not ready to be talked about. I don't think they're ready to say, hey, here's what it is.
Yeah. Huh.
You disagree?
Not that I disagree, but it's hard for me to think that like the only single player thing we get from PlayStation next year ends up being Wolverine.
Well, I don't think that either.
Yeah.
Like, I think there are. I agree with Connor C's and your conversation that there has to be more stuff in 2024 from PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just Wolverine, but I don't think it's Ghost of Tsushima. Even though that's not exactly what he's saying, nor do I think Naughty Dog's ready to go. I don't think either of those are ready to go and say, "Hey, here's what's up."
Yeah, and I still think there's a chance that they say fuck it with Ghost of Tsushima because. That is still what they could use as a unicorn title, right? Like, hey, Ghost of Tsushima is happening. We all assume it's happening, right?
Yeah.
Like, we can all just basically say we're going to get Ghost of Tsushima 2 at this point. What could go wrong? They can just come out and say it. Like, even if that game comes out in 2026, 2027, they can still come out and say that game exists, and everything's going to be fun.
Everything's going to be okay.
Everything's going to be okay.
I'm looking back through the PlayStation Showcase rundown to look for 2024 dates, right? And so, yeah, you scroll through it, of course. We're talking about Haven, no date. Helldivers is this year. Then they did Immortals. Then they did this. Then they do this, then the other. Giant Squid, this, then the other. The Gree devs. Their game's coming 2024. Cat Quest is coming 2024 to PlayStation and PlayStation 5. There it is. Thank you very much. Right? Towers of Ashi is coming 2024. Ultros 2024, the Spencer gift shop game. Remember that fucking thing? Now these aren't all exclusives by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah,
to be clear,
I'm just reading through with the studios thing. Like,
yeah,
the PlayStation Studios.
It really
games.
Quick, just to bring up a question of you'd be surprised or kind of worried if next year Wolverine was the only single player first party game to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything besides Spider-Man 2 this year?
And I think that's not great for this year. Like, but there has been Horizon DLC, and there has been PSVR 2 hardware, and there has been Horizon Call of the Mountain.
The one to toss out here is Concord is 2024.
Okay, Concord is the one I was thinking of. But yeah, like, I don't... This year, I would say, is a down year for PlayStation, right? Like, is that wild to say that 2023 is a down year? When you look at the last forever now of PlayStation... Like, ever since PlayStation found their footing with, like, let's say starting with Horizon in 2017, this year is a down year.
So this is where, you know, Greg Miller's a Sony pony really probably shines through. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't. Maybe I'm just devil's advocating. Maybe I just have a different stance on it. Is it a down year? Or is it, stick with me, I know I'm about to sound like such an insane person, just a smart move from PlayStation? Because every fucking week we talk about the fact that this is such an insane year for games. There is so much happening in games, yada, yada, yada. We don't want to count it because it's not a Sony first party, which is fair. But Final Fantasy 16 is the PlayStation 5 exclusive for consoles.
Sure.
So there's that there. Then you're going to get Spider-Man 2. But then with what? The exception of Zelda? And I'm probably talking out of turn, so feel free to hit me on the head here. But like, we're talking about all these other games that should be Game of the Year in any other year, right? But aren't going to be Game of the Year here because of Zelda and because of this. But it's like... You have Diablo, you have Final Fantasy, you have Spider-Man coming up. There's another big one I'm forgetting in this conversation right now.
Starfield?
That's definitely a miss on their part. But it is this idea that, like, you... When you're PlayStation and you are feasting right now, right? Console sales are doing so well. The first parties are doing so well. We'll see what happens with all these multiplayer games. I don't think you sit there necessarily and go just from the perspective of first party and go, man, it's a down year. Mm-hmm. I think it is. How much are we selling on the units on the PlayStation? How much, like, third party games are selling better here? And I'm just using a broad brush here, but for the argument wise, I don't think they're going to look at 2023 as a down year. Herman might look at first party and be like, yo, I would have loved more of our stuff there, but I'm sure there's also a big conversation there of like, man, thank God we're not sending games like Spider-Man 2 possibly out to die.
Yeah.
And I don't mean out to die in terms of like, oh, nobody's going to buy Spider-Man. But I mean like at Game Awards, at Dice Awards, is Spider-Man, is it going to be another like Red Dead God of War year where Spider-Man's was so excited to get like audio design or whatever they got, where they were excited just to get something because it was happening. Like, I feel like there's got to be that tenor to it too of like, yo, let everyone go fucking batshit crazy. Alan Wake 2 is in this conversation this year. Let all these games that are going to be fantastic go batshit crazy because they're going to be on PlayStation 5. People are going to buy them on PlayStation 5. They're going to buy them more than ever on digital, so we're getting a cut of that. Like, let them fight in the Godzilla way, right? And then we get to next year and we go. And again, for a down year, I don't think as a PlayStation fan, I feel that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I have nothing to play on my PlayStation. If I was constantly turning on my Xbox, if I was constantly turning on my Switch, different conversation. And granted, I turn on my Switch for Zelda, and I'm going to turn on my Xbox for Starfield. But I still think my primary place to play is going to be PlayStation. There's so many games there.
And I'm definitely speaking, when I say down year, I'm speaking specifically to PlayStation Studios, right? Because, Final Fantasy 16, one of the biggest games of the year. And when you're talking about catalog, when you bring in third party into it, PlayStation is doing fine. And I don't think I can panic or anything, right?
Oh, sure.
But it's more so me looking at the slate of games that PlayStation Studios usually has year to year, and getting to this year, and this year it is Horizon DLC, Horizon Call of the Mountain, and Spider-Man 2, and that's about it, right? You look at previous years, and just last year, we got, God of War Ragnarok and Horizon Forbidden West. Like, that's huge, right? You go back the year before, now my memory is going to start to show. But, you have Returnal, you have Ratchet and Clank. Ratchet and Clank that year as well, right? And Deathloop, if you want to bring in exclusive third-party stuff into it. But, like, for the sake, we don't need to. But also, last year was Last of Us Part 1 as well. And I think you got to count that. But you go before that, right? 2020, we're talking about Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us Part 2. And PlayStation Studios, to some respects, in the last 5 years, every year, usually owns the year. Like, there is usually like, oh, all of the biggest games this year are from PlayStation. That's what the conversation has been around PlayStation Studios in particular, first party. This year, the conversation is not that at all. Like, Spider-Man 2 is very exciting, and it's going to be one of the games talked about as one of the biggest games of the year, but I don't think it's going to be a slam dunk in any game of the year, right? When you're talking about Zelda, even Final Fantasy, right? Starfield, and a bunch of other games coming out from,
of course,
so many other publishers. This is the first year where, going into Game Awards, I'm like, is PlayStation even going to have a game that's nominated for Game of the Year, let alone like be in the conversation for winning? And I don't, and like, I look at next year and I'm like, is that going to happen again? You know, because next year could be, and we don't know this, right? Could be Wolverine, but aside from that, like, I don't have that expectation of Concord. And that's where I come back on the PlayStation showcase, is that I would think that PlayStation still values that cadence of being able to have the biggest games of the year. And this year being a somewhat off year for PlayStation Studios in particular, you got to follow up the next year and go, no, but we have this coming out in 2024.
My thought on the showcase thing is that I think it'll be a state of play, because I think you need to date Helldivers 2. You probably have a couple little partnerships with third party on, you know, the indies or double A games that were coming that we know are 2023, but we don't have dates on. I feel like you could do that kind of thing and package it all up there. Whereas I think if you did a showcase and you showed Helldivers again and gave a date to Helldivers, be like, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think, and again, I have disbelief that Sucker Punch and Naughty Dog are ready to be like, yo, here's the next thing. This is what we need to do. Here's even a teaser. Like, I think you, of course, I think you should have done that in the first showcase if you were going to do that. There can be the argument of, we wanted to talk about all the live service stuff in one go, and that's why we did it the way we did. And now the next one would be more of a traditional what's going on. But when you get to, if it's going to be a traditional hair with what the first party's up to, I just don't think there's enough first parties ready to be like, yo, here's what we're up to. Let's go. Mm-hmm. We're Sony Bend, and this is the new thing. Like, I just don't think they're there yet.
Do you think we're going to get back to that place ever where we have been for the last
100%.
5 years of, like, every year you're having at least 2 to 3 bangers, like 9 to 10 out of 10 games?
Yeah, I think you will. I mean, I think that's still what PlayStation first party is founded on. And yeah, we can talk about the live service stuff and all these different games, but again, I don't think necessarily that's going to be getting into everybody's wheelhouse. It's going to be in everybody's chicken coop, right? Like, I think you're going to have people making the games they want to make and what they should be making, and you'll go from there. But yeah, I think Ghost will still be like that, right? Maybe it has the, you know, Legends 2 or whatever in it, and that has all that stuff you want, but I think Ghost itself will still be the banger you want it to be.
Yeah.
But I digress. So you say yes for another showcase. I say no, but you'll get a state of play.
Cool.
I have more predictions / bets, I guess. But for now, let me tell you about the surest bet there is. Patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on Patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, you can get each and every episode of PS I Love You XOXO ad-free. You get us video, you get us an MP3. They're all just sitting there waiting for you. But, of course, you could watch us record the show live, sometimes 2 days before it goes live anywhere else. You get hundreds, that's right, hundreds of exclusive episodes of content only on Patreon.com/kindoffunny and so much more. So why not check it out? While you think, maybe I do, maybe I don't, let's talk about sponsors. Here's words from them.
Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break a pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no question asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. If you don't love your Shady Rays, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Their team always has your back. Shady Rays Independence Day sale is live right now. You can go to ShadyRays.com and get up to 50% off single pairs of sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. ShadyRays.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Here's a word.
Here's a word from.
I've had this hair too. You see me like reaching in my eye. There's been like a hair on my eye.
Oh, I hate that.
And not like in it, but like across it.
Oh.
But I can't get away. I can't get it out of there.
Listen, rub that eye. Do what you got.
Well, I don't want to.
All right. Don't feel self-conscious. Give him the one, Barry. Don't feel self-conscious. Don't feel self-conscious. Give him the one. Yeah, and zoom in. Zoom in on the hair.
I just want to shame him.
I just want to fight him to be game of the year. Look at him with that hair on his eye. Oh, I can't see. I'm Greg Miller. I can't see shit.
Speaking of Spider-Man. My third bet for you. Will Spider-Man 2 be 90 or above on Metacritic?
No.
It's what we checked this earlier. It's an 80.
80 for the last one, or for Spider-Man Remastered? Or Spider-Man 2018?
87 for 2018. I'm not sure where Miles was.
That's fine. Well, that's a good question, actually. Yeah, 87, like you said, for that. And then I'll toss it in there. Miles. Morales. It's an 85 for 2020.
So for Miles Morales?
87. 85, yeah, based on people who are wrong like you.
Damn.
You say no, Spider-Man won't be a 90 on Metacritic?
No. Looking through the list of Insomniac games, it looks like the last Insomniac game that reached over a 90 on Metacritic, or that reached a 90 on Metacritic, would have been Ratchet & Clank Up Your Arsenal on the PS2. I don't think Spider-Man 2 is going to be that groundbreaking enough to, like, put it outside the realm. Yeah, like turn heads, put it outside the realm of what the last Spider-Man games or the Insomniac games in general have been. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I think it'll be a 5 out of 5 on the Kind of Funny scale. I think it might be even a KF20. That's a new thing I'm trying to start, where four of us give it a 5 out of 5.
Yeah. Wait, fuck, I love that. Yeah, right? That's great.
Yeah, it's like Famitsu.
He's stealing the Famitsu thing, though. That's the problem.
Listen, if we don't say we're stealing it, nobody will know.
That's in another language. Nobody knows what
that
is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I swear to fucking God, where is his hair coming from?
Is it still
there? Oh, it's on my glasses.
My glasses.
Probably misses his glasses.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man 2 could get a 5 out of 5 from everybody who reviews it on this panel and end up being a KF20. But is it going to be 10 out of 10s across the board? I think that's where the conversation gets a bit murky. Is like, I think a 5-point scale and a 10-point scale hits different. And I could see Spider-Man 2 getting 9s and 8s across the board. But when I think of a 10 out of 10, right? Like, I'm thinking of The Last of Us. I'm thinking of the God of Wars. And I just don't think... Not that I don't think Insomniac could give it to us. I just don't think that's what they're trying to give us. They're trying to give us a good time, a fun time. They're trying to give us a Spider-Man thing, right? And, like, I just don't think that speaks on that level. That doesn't speak as an IGN 10 out of 10 to me. How about you?
I don't think you're wrong. I think this is an argument we've had a lot on this show. And a Kind of Funny content across the board of, like, Insomniac, they seem to constantly be stuck in this 85 to 9 section, right? When are they going to step up? Can they step up? Can they become a S-tier PlayStation first-party studio, right? Blah, blah, blah. We've had that conversation a lot. I've argued both sides of it a lot. Where I'm at right now is that I think Insomniac has a chip on their shoulder, and I think they're going to try to really fucking do something with Spider-Man 2. I'm going to say yes, that it's a 90 or above on Metacritic, and that is a tall order. Like, for everything you just said, all the scores we just looked at, I think that if I was I'm a betting man, I think the odds are against me on this one. I do think that historic results, I think what video game reviewers look for out of a sequel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The fact that even though it's Insomniac's third Spider-Man game, right? Like, it's the umpteenth Spider-Man game. So you've kind of seen everything under the sun and felt like this and yada, yada, yada. All that said, I think they know, and I think they're sick of not being considered an S-tier studio. Mm-hmm. And so my hope is, this is selfish as a fan, right? My hope is that that's what they're doing under the hood, is that they're sitting there cooking and being like, let's fucking go. Like, here, let's give this long PlayStation Showcase demo, right? 12 minutes or whatever it was. And it will be hype as fuck and you're flying and all this stuff, but, like, don't show them the good stuff. Don't show them the crazy stuff. I think there's going to be multiple times when we're playing that game, and it's the slack-jawed thing I had from Jedi Survivor, where I'm like, this is insane that this is happening and I'm doing that. That is my hope, and maybe I'm psyching myself up and whatever, but I do believe the way Insomniac's been quietly cooking on this, and the fact that they know what it is, and the fact that they listen to content, not just ours, but everything, you know what I mean? And just in general, like, they're fans. I think they're like, let's fucking go. IMO. Mm-hmm. I hope
so, too, right? Like, I'll love that for them. The thing that still holds me back, too, is just they release games in such a quick cadence. And, like, I think, I mean, you know, S tier, A tier, like, the whole thing is murky, but I do think that they still are the MVP of PlayStation when you're talking about a studio that PlayStation values and that they don't miss their games.
They are consistent every time.
PlayStation, or Spider-Man 2 is going to be one of the best-selling games of the year, if not the best-selling game of the year, right? Like, it's going to be competing with Call of Duty and, I guess, Harry Potter in that regard. I think there's a chance it beats Zelda. I'm trying to do the math in my head. Actually, probably not.
No. Zelda did 10 million in 3 days.
You're right. No, it's not going to be Zelda, because this is Spider-Man 2 will probably do like 3 to 4 million in 3 days. And that's going to be great. That's going to be usually better than like what you see out of something like that for on the PS5, especially, right? Where there's only 30 million or 40 million out there. But yeah, no, Spider-Man 2 is going to kill it in every regard. But yeah, like, it's tough for me to place them outside of what they've done with Spider-Man already, and Ratchet and Clank ripped apart, and those are fantastic games that ripped apart, won our game of the year, right? Like, it's that they're that dope, but are they over 90 on Metacritic?
Maybe
dope,
you know, like, I wonder whenever they'll hit their kind of Last of Us moment, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, I know there's the, you know, debate of Uncharted 2, whether it's a good game or not, but like, at the time, though, like, I can only imagine when you're going from like Uncharted 2 to Uncharted 3, and then, you know, they announced this thing called The Last of Us. And at that time, I can only imagine of like how hard it was to imagine Naughty Dog doing something gameplay wise very similar, but tonally and storytelling wise, like very, very different. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if like if that's that moment for Insomniac with Spider-Man 2 or maybe even Wolverine.
But could that be, could, can they do that with Spider-Man 2? Like, I think Naughty Dog needed
if I was a betting man and I was going to just ride ratios, I'd say no. Mm-hmm. But I'm choosing to be the bet against myself, be hopeful, be optimistic, and say yes.
I think my thing is, I think to get there, Insomniac would need a new IP, or maybe even they could do it with Wolverine, right? Like Wolverine, not my fear with it, but what my expectation of Wolverine is that it's going to be a dope ass Wolverine action game. But even with that, I think it is still going to give us what we know out of that character and stuff. I think if Insomniac wants to really like get on that level, right, get the 10 out of 10s across the board, I think you need a new original IP, and I think you need a lot of time. I think you need to go away for a little bit and then come back and be like, hey, we've been working on this game for 5 to 6 years. But I also just don't think Insomniac is that studio, nor do I even want it to be that studio. I like what Insomniac is now. I like that they give us these like 9 out of 10 dope-ass Ratchets and Spider-Man's Wolverines.
And again, like I think there's something, and this is very reductive and it's not one-to-one, but stick with me in terms of themes and stuff. Like I think in some regards, what we're saying is that, you know, Naughty Dog gives us the summer blockbuster. It gives us this big, giant movie we all enjoy, but it's not Best Picture. It's not the one that, like, you know, did something that really was indie or whatever. Not that every, you know what I mean.
It's the same way that I don't expect Spider-Man Homecoming to win Best Picture.
Sure.
Right? Like, I'm expecting whatever art came out that year, whatever movie that I haven't heard of. I know movies are different from video games, but you get what I'm what I'm saying
there. Well, here, I have some other stuff here about this that I think is interesting. Continue the conversation about Spider-Man 2. Marty writes in to kindoffunny.com/PSILY, just like you can. It says, do you bet that Marvel's Spider-Man 2 will be in Kind of Funny's Game of the Year top 5? I do, but based only on the number of people who play it.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was talking to Barrett about this at my birthday party, actually.
Thanks for the invite.
Where I heard you didn't like bowling. I never heard that. We did karaoke, too. I heard you didn't like karaoke.
Yeah, he hates karaoke. I imagine he did the karaoke bit on Monday because he saw us at
karaoke that's not it.
And he was like, I'm going to do my own karaoke with
I don't need blessing at all.
But I was making the argument to Barrett that there's a chance that Spider-Man 2 doesn't see our top 5. But I think odds are against that.
Yeah, I think purely for the numbers game of like
everybody's going to play it.
Yeah, again, if we're assuming it's the same panel for the 8 people voting, I would imagine that's going to be one of the few games that like
everybody's voting on.
And so I think
if I can stop you, and by the way, first off, Barrett, I love this. Janet's always here, so I never get to see you on the green. So this is really good, and I love
Well, the Kev camera's broken for a long time.
Ah, great. Okay,
fixed it.
Gotcha. I hear you. I think it's going to be top 5. I don't think it's going to be because the diversity of game. This year, like last year, there was the whole like Elden Ring thing where it's like you either loved Elden Ring or you didn't love Elden Ring, and there was like no in between. I felt, is that happening this year? Because we're talking about Zelda, we're talking about Final Fantasy. Whether it's like, I'm not saying it's like the, you know what I mean, but it's like Final Fantasy's beloved around here, right? Like, I'm trying to think of what weird-ass Greg game I loved Before Your Eyes, but I don't think when I vote, I don't think I'm going to be like, oh, I got to put that up high. That was before I even played anything else this year. I feel like
also
this year... Also
an old game,
sure, but it came to PSVR too, of course, the definitive PlayStation VR platform.
Well, I'm thinking of Diablo 4.
Sure.
Like, I think Diablo 4 is going to be high up on like half our list and not on other half, like another half people's list. I think Starfield might be that way. Like, I don't expect every single person to play Starfield.
See, now here's where it gets interesting, right? You know that I love Diablo 4. You know, I can't stop playing Diablo 4. You've heard me in these stories about Jen and yada, 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 yada. Right now, if I was ranking it, like, and I'm just talking out of my ass, not actually putting them in, like, Diablo 4 is top 5.
Okay.
But I don't think I wouldn't be making a case for it to be my number one or number two, I don't think.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, where it's talking about your list specifically.
Yeah, if I was voting for it. But I think most people are like me, where I think I'm probably the biggest. Oh, no, Joey. But I don't know what Joey doesn't usually
vote on
our list.
Yeah.
So then it's like me and Mike, where it's like, I don't think Mike's putting it that high in his list.
Okay.
Like, I think there's a lot of passion behind
a
lot of games.
Can't predict Mike's list. I can never predict.
You know he's going to fucking get Rocket City on there somewhere.
Yeah. But my thing also is, you know, Final Fantasy 16 is probably going to be high up on my list. It'll be high up on Tim's list. It'll be high up on Mike's list. It's Mike's game of the year right now. But, like, I don't think there's a guarantee it's going to be on on your list necessarily. Or
based on, I mean, I still need to get to it, but I'm in the middle of a review. So if it's like, based on the way everybody's talking about it, I think it will be.
Okay.
Like, I mean, everybody's like, oh, it's like God
but
of
also
War.
But like, also, like, Paris Janet and Janet, Paris. Like, I don't know if it's going to make their list either.
Sure.
Like, Spider-Man 2 is going to be on every single person's list.
I would
somewhere.
Think, I mean, unless it just comes out and shits the bed. I know we're a PlayStation thing, but it's in here. Starfield, I think, will be on everybody's list, too.
See, I think...
Not Tim's, I guess. Not Tim's.
Yeah. Starfield is such a big game that I don't know if it's like... Maybe everybody puts a little bit of time into it, but maybe, you know, some people, like...
Like, I would have to talk to Janet, but I don't... Yeah. Like, I've never heard Janet talk about Starfield, but also maybe she has, and I just haven't... I guess we have a PlayStation podcast. So you just we're not talking about Starfield, but I'm sure Paris is going to fucking love Starfield.
Mm. Of course, they gave him a chair.
Yeah.
No, that was the other game.
Oh yeah, that was the other game.
Yeah, no, but it was just funny.
The yellow one,
making fun of Paris. I guess, like, see, like when I think about games that are gonna get the shaft because not everybody plays it. I think like Street Fighter V, where it's like even if I did play Street Fighter V, like I tried it and I spent nights with it, I don't think it'd be like
you know. SpongeBob SquarePants, the Cosmic Shape,
or RE4 remake.
God, that was this year.
That was only a few months ago.
Fuck.
Alan Wake is also going to be an interesting one to see how that takes too.
Yeah.
My answer to this is yes. Spider-Man 2 is going to be in our top five, but I also. Actually, no, I think it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed to be in our top five.
My prediction is that it'll be, for the eight of us, again, if it's the same panel, us three, Andy, Tim, Mike, Janet, Paris. For most of us, it'll be the lower half of our top 10, but because it's on every one of our lists, it'll make the top five.
And I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I guess when I think about my personal top five, I don't know. There's a chance Spider-Man 2 gets on there. I don't know if it's guaranteed it gets on my personal top five. And I think that goes for everybody.
See, my thing, yeah, I think it's like, unless it really fucks up, it's going to be a top
five. Remember Hi-Fi Rush?
Yeah, that's the thing. Those are the games that I'm more worried about is Hi-Fi Rush and Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Oh, yeah, Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
You admittedly forgot about Survivor that entire conversation. Great point. Like every year I start off and I'm like, I'm going to start an Excel thing so I keep track of it so I don't have to have the off the top conversation to forget a game.
But like, if I had a list, games are gonna be in our top 10 right now, right? And like thinking about where Spider-Man's gonna place against them, right? Zelda is probably gonna be our number one. I bet. Y'all bet.
I like that you originally put your hand up and you shut your eyes like you're praying.
Dear God, we gather here today. Zelda, Starfield, Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I imagine is gonna be up in there. Of course, Spider-Man 2. I'm surprised. I guess after talking to you, I would have said Diablo 4 for sure, but I guess not for sure with Diablo 4. What did I miss? Alan Wake 2.
High-Fi Rush. You did.
Yeah, but High-Fi Rush isn't gonna be like.
Tim loves it. He's gonna put that high.
But like Tim and Andy, I think both are like. I mean, it's 4 out of 5 to them. It's a 5 out of 5 for me and Mike.
Okay.
Don't forget me, man.
And Barrett Courtney.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 is gonna be up there.
Okay. Number 4 on the Roper Report. Lol. On our predictions thing. Are these Last of Us Part 3 rumors true? We're going to go to Eurogamer, where Victoria Kennedy writes, new information on The Last of Us Part 3 reportedly leaked over the weekend from two internet tipsters better known for their scoops on Marvel TV shows and movies. While Naughty Dog itself is keeping plans for the series close to its chest, leaker Daniel RPK revealed that Part 3 will introduce 5 new characters. Lucas, Mason, Val, Ezra, and Gracie. These 5 are reportedly part of a group of scavengers who are said to be, quote, surviving on the outskirts of a post-apocalyptic city, end quote, and using a Victorian house as their base. According to Daniel, Lucas is an affable character who develops a relationship with another young scavenger and will have a turn to show his dark side. This younger scavenger could perhaps be Gracie, who is said to be between the ages of 18 and 25. Mason, meanwhile, is a former soldier who must choose between his loyalty to other characters in the group when Val gets put in charge, with Val being the alleged leader of this group of survivors. Finally, Ezra appears to be some sort of antagonist, with Daniel reporting that they want to take over the house from Val. As for returning characters, fellow leaker viewer Anon stated that Ellie will be, quote, at least as important in Part 3 as she was in Last of Us Part 2. It was pretty fucking important.
How do you get more important than that?
There has been no word as yet on whether Abby or Lev will return in the next installment of the series. Additionally, tipster viewer Anon has claimed that the majority of filming for Part 3 will begin as soon as this year. Back in 2021, Naughty Dog's Neil Druckmann stated the studio had a story outline for Last of Us Part 3 penned that he hoped, quote, one day can see the light of day. However, this time, nothing was in development. Earlier this year, he reiterated that Naughty Dog is open to developing Part 3, but only if, quote, the team can come up with a compelling story that has this universal message and statement about love, as it did with Parts 1 and 2. With The Last of Us, it's up to us whether we want to continue or not. If we can come up with something, we have a very strong ending with Part 2, and that will be the end, Druckmann said in January. Do you believe this rumor, blessing Adeoye Jr.?
No.
Okay. Why not?
I don't even think they've started. I don't think they've started working on Last of Us Part 3 yet. Like, I'm sure here it mentions that Neil Druckmann, like, you know, has been writing shit down. But like, maybe somebody found his notepad or some shit. But like, I don't. Maybe these are from like Last of Us factions or something, right?
That's
like,
been part of the rumors that have been going around. Again, this is all unsubstantiated. A million people have done a bunch of stuff, yada, yada, yada. It's been also said, well, maybe this is actually from factions. Maybe this stuff got leaked and it was faction stuff and people are saying
or
it's Part 3.
Maybe, and this is hard for me to believe too, but maybe it is a spinoff. Maybe it is like the Miles Morales type game, but for Last of Us. Because it's hard for me to imagine that. I know they just say here that Ellie is going to be as important as she was in Last of Us Part 2. Whatever. But, like, I feel like a Last of Us Part 3 story is going to be focused on characters that we know a bit more, right? Like, I think it is going to be more of either an Ellie story or an Abby and Lev story, right? Like, I think you could focus on those characters.
Also,
but
a key thing here, right? They're saying that a Victorian house is their base. What is well known for having Victorian houses? San Francisco, which we saw from the key art, is, like, where this is going to, where factions will be based, so.
And that's my thought is I don't believe that these are, I believe these are rumor. This is all stemming from casting calls, right? Which of course sometimes get sides and selects, which aren't the actual character you're playing. You've heard about it, I'm sure, for every one of your favorite Marvel movies, they get whatever, they don't know who it is. And then it turns out they were reading for this part, right? My thought here is, this is tied up in factions, and that would make more sense for the timeline too, of like, okay, cool. We've got this game, this multiplayer game. This is what's going on. Okay, it's not working. We're scaling it back. We're going to a smaller team. Well, we've gone to a smaller team. What do you guys want to do with it? Well, let's get behind a narrative. Let's give it a backbone. Let's go in and take it this different direction, do this. I believe that this is faction stuff and not Last of Us Part 3 stuff.
Yeah, and also, like, I think even the idea of them using the Victorian house as their base, like, that is such a multiplayer games as a service type of thing. If you want to build that into the gameplay, right, of hey, you come back and you take missions from Lucas or Mason or Val or Ezra
or Ellie.
Damn,
go get me another guitar.
You know, surviving on the outskirts of a post-apocalyptic city, like a lot of this speaks to what we'd imagine factions to be. And so I think this might fit there. Otherwise, I just don't think this exists, right?
Like, I hope the house is the Full House house.
That'd be so cool.
Everywhere you look, everywhere.
And then every time you open up factions, it's a recreation of the Full House intro.
Love it.
But with those characters.
You walk in the house, you go in the basement, you see like the skeleton of Joey. Not our Joey, but Uncle Joey. Uncle Joey in the game. Yeah. Our Joey alive.
Joey Gladstone. He's got the puppet on his hand and everything.
Yeah.
We should make this game.
Cut it out.
There you go.
Yeah.
real quick, we have an update for one of our previous rumors. Janet Garcia responds to my question of, do you care about Starfield? Janet says, yep. Not like crazy levels in the sense that I'm not a Bethesda girl, but I definitely want to play it.
That lines up.
But then I said, thank you. Blessing doesn't know you at all. And then she says, I've been saying it.
I don't think I said out she was not going to play Starfield. It was just like,
I'm playing you off. I'm sorry. That's the end of it. I do have another Naughty Dog bet for you, though, here for the PlayStation 5 lifecycle. This one comes from Matthew, who writes in and says, Naughty Dog won't release a new game on PlayStation 5. You can see it, right?
Yeah.
They don't find the fun in factions, so that never comes to fruition. And then whatever the new single-player IP game they're working on,
just doesn't.
It just dates, and then eventually, like, you know what? I'm gonna do it as PS.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So Blessing says yes, comma no new game.
Damn, is Naughty Dog the new Rockstar?
And I'm gonna say no. They'll have a game this year. They'll have a PS5 game. No, they have a PS5 game. My thought here is, like, even if they did gestate on this next single player game forever, I think they'd release it at least as a PS5, PS6 game, right? I assume PS6 is backwards compatibility. I assume we're into a Last of Us Part 2 kind of thing, right? Where it's like, you could have just waited and put Last of Us Part 2 only on PS5, but they didn't. They put it on PS4.
I mean, do you think that served the Last of Us Part 2 badly? Could I just put it on PS4? Okay.
I mean, look at the install base, right?
Yeah.
Same thing here.
The thing with Naughty Dog, though, is I wouldn't want whatever they're working on to be a cross-gen thing. Like,
cross-gen is not really cross-gen. It's just a backwards compatible.
Sure. Thing.
It's a PS5 game. It's just you can run a PS6.
I guess, yeah. Then, like, just put it out on PS6 and take full advantage on PS6.
But the install base, the money.
Oh, fuck the install base. You're Naughty Dog. Sell the
PS5. This is why they'll never let you run.
Sell the PS6s.
They're never going to let you run Sony as much as you
can. If anything could sell a PS6, well, there's a lot of things that could sell a PS6. But a Naughty Dog game exclusive, ooh, that'll sell boxes.
I want to move on. Not for any of these ones. I've decided these aren't worth it for me. I don't like these ones because there were so many good ones written in by the audience. Are you ready, Bless?
I'm ready.
I want to jump to
you got it, dude.
Big Bad Beluga.
Oh.
Wrote into kindoffunny.com/PSILY and says, bet at least one of PlayStation's first party live service games, Fair Games, Concord, Factions, Horizon Co-op, will be deemed a financial failure within the first 12 months of launch, shuttering the game and leading to mass layoffs at the company.
Dude, I think it's just a question of which one.
I was going to say, this is a bet. Yeah, 1,000% it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think the more interesting one is which. This is a mean bet to make.
I mean, it's not. We're not wishing these games ill will. It was a mean bet for PlayStation to make this and hire people and have people's livelihoods tied to this. I don't believe they all got this stuff. I'm sure on some level, PlayStation knows they don't all have the stuff, and I'm sure they have best intentions of not laying people off because of it. But no, I don't believe in these games. We've talked about this. There's a great episode of PS I Love You all about, like, do we believe in PlayStation's multiplayer plan? It's a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Great Blessing show on it, too.
Great Blessing show about it as well. But yeah, for this one, for sure, no. Fair Games Concord. Are we saying Concord or are we saying Concord?
I swear, I go back and forth between both.
Because, you know, is Concord...
New Jersey? I don't know.
It's out there. And remember, if you're an East Coast person, you're not in New York. We don't know shit about you, and we don't care. So
my
we don't.
Guess is Concord.
New Hampshire. God damn it.
Oh my God, New Hampshire. You know
New Hampshire.
Like Concordia.
I'm saying Concord. Yeah, Concord sounds... Concord's bad for a day.
Yeah, I feel like it gets too close to that. Concord also just sounds more spacier, you know?
But if you had to pick one game that's going to do this, that's going to be deemed a financial failure in the first 12 months.
No. I'm not even going to do it.
Okay.
So that's too much. I'm just like, I know shit about all these games or whatever. Well, I'm going to try to get an answer about this. Hold on.
I just got a DM from Greg. He said, you said Fair Games. He said Fair Games is going to be the one. Damn. It's crazy. Hate to see it. Now, what are you looking up right now? Ooh, he's doing a lot of typing.
Don't worry about me, all right? Okay. I'm doing journalism over here.
Oh.
Reb Valentine, look out. Greg Miller can't be stopped. Don't worry about that. This is a fun one and a quick one. Kyler says, will we see a remastered version of the Resistance franchise?
No.
Absolutely not. Not a chance. No, are you kidding me?
I don't know if PlayStation remembers that they still have Resistance. I think Jim Ryan and Herman Holst are sitting around the room and going like, oh yeah, who made that one? Was that Activision? That was an Activision game, right?
Now this is an interesting one, I think. Marty writes in, Marty Permit, and says, do you bet that Project Q will be more well-liked than PlayStation VR 2?
Ooh.
Marty says, I think it will be. And this is a very interesting one.
Yeah.
Because again, according to PlayStation, PSVR 2 selling better than PSVR 1 was.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what, it was 600,000, right? Was that the units though that they
announced around that?
Cameron Kennedy, you're live. Check it. Got to sign somebody that you're wrong in the chat live. I think no. I mean, like here,
define more liked.
That's the problem.
Are you going by sales?
That is the problem. I think among the talking heads you probably listen to on video game podcasts, like us, an IGN, a GameSpot, or whatever. I think, yes, Project Q will have more juice behind it of people being like, yeah, I used it. It was fine. I don't know if it's worth the price or it's worth the price or whatever. And blah, blah, blah. And there'll be the little stories like me of like, oh, yeah, last night Jen was watching Grey's Anatomy and I was using Project Q to play X, Y, and Z or blah, 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 blah. I think there'll be that scuttlebutt positivity around it in a way I don't think there is about PlayStation VR 2, but I don't think it will sell as much as PlayStation VR 2 has in the same time period. I don't think they're going to move 600,000 Project Qs. Like out the gate or whatever. Because again, I just don't. I mean, like, VR has such a dialed in fan base. that knows what they're getting out of VR experiences at the moment. They buy it. They're happy with it. Remote play has people like me, has your normal backbone user, but I just don't believe that this thing is going to be so great out of the box that I'm going to sit there and be like, yo, throw your backbones away. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about getting your iPad and your controller and Bluetoothing them. This is the truth. Like, I'm excited for it and I can't wait for it. And I do think I'm going to use it nightly, if not three times a week.
Yeah.
But I don't, and I don't think I'm going to be moving those units where it's like, in the same way I could never convince Poe to buy VR, I'm not going to convince Poe to buy a remote play device.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. But I think I agree with you also that the conversation around it might be slightly more positive, because with PSVR, I think there was such a, like, people were downer from the start because you know what PlayStation is looking to get out of this thing, and you're coming into it coming off of PSVR 1, and like, you just have higher expectation for what a new platform is versus an accessory that has a screen on it, right? Like, I think everybody is already so down on Project Q that coming in, I think the only place you have to go is up, right? Like, I think the people that look at it and go,
Down on Project Q, or are they just flat on Project Q? I think VR too, again, depending on who you talk to, there was people who were up on it or down on it. I don't know if there was just a
at chat or when I look at comments or whatever, it seems like a lot of people are down just because I think a lot of people are putting more into it than what PlayStation even wants it to be. Because, like, that's why I've been using the word accessory so much in regards to it. Because I think people are like, oh, man, they're making a new handheld or whatever, right? And, like, of course, like, it's not a Vita or whatever. But I think people are very confused about what it is and what it wants to be. But, like, I think the people that understand it are like, I think the people who understand it are flat. Like, I think me and you are probably more flat than anything. But I think a lot of people are like, what am I going to use this for? And they're the ones that are down on it.
Okay. So what is your pick? More than well liked? And what is going to be more well liked than I'm going to say sells better. I'm sorry, hold on.
Sells worse.
Sells worse than VR. Sentiment better.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? Fuck it. Sells more.
Okay.
Put me down for sells more. Unless they charge $300 to which I will double back.
Yeah, I know. We'll have to wait and see on what that's going to be. I have to imagine. I know you got your techie nerds, you know, so like, okay, you know, Engadget and the fucking Digital Foundry. They're going to go see the fucking PlayStation 5, 6, 7, whatever, like, for first thing. Like, I've got to be one of the biggest remote play people in the space, right?
Sure, yeah.
Is there somebody else? Give me the one, Bear.
I don't see people talking about remote play the way you do.
Hey, PlayStation, it's me, Greg Miller. You might know me as Trending Gamer. Don't worry about what year I won that award. What's up with this Project Q, huh? Who's going to get the first exclusive hands-on about this? The Verge? I'll tell you right now, the Verge audience, they don't care. The Reporter, they don't care about remote play. I'm out there remote playing at least four times a week. I'm using the Backbone. I'm using a Steam Deck through that program that's not supposed to be used, but it doesn't matter. Don't shit the bed on this one, all right? Let me play Project Q before anybody else. Thank you.
Thank you. Where do you want to take us?
My source says it's Concord.
Okay.
So not Concord.
Yeah, like Concordia.
Who's your...
What's Concordia?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a word. I've heard it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to respond here. So, not like the town. Concord. I'm going to say, because that's how you...
Concord game. Oh, I know your sources. I get it. I was like, who even makes Concord?
Concordia is just like a name for a bunch of different places. It's like a Concordia Park in Oakland.
Snug Slack says, Greg Miller, remote player. I like that.
Ooh, that's really good. Also, did Cameron Kennedy ever get back with?
He did 600,000 in the first 3 weeks. I think I don't know that part. I already forgot, but I was right in the 600,000 number, and I'll take it.
Gotcha.
Blessing,
Greg.
I've enjoyed making bets we'll forget about until somebody reminds us that we did it. And I've taken copious notes. Don't worry about it. What's happening this week in PlayStation?
Not much. There's been a new story that the PlayStation Mobile has lost another top exec. This is from Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. PlayStation's mobile division has lost another top executive weeks after confirmation of a change of leadership. As reported by MobileGamer.biz, Mikhail Katkov, who was the managing director of recently acquired Savage Game Studios, has announced he's leaving the company less than a year after it was acquired by Sony.
Womp womp.
It was a conversation that we've had earlier on KFGD.
Yeah, me and Tim had a great episode about it.
Yeah.
And what else? I mean, the recap, because we don't need to beat a dead horse here, right, is I think it's the coin flip, where it's like, either means that, hey, my part done, I'm an executive and my part of the thing's done, or I feel like I'm in a good place to leave, so I'm going to go. No, I had a great opportunity, yada, yada. Or, hey, nobody's providing us the resources to make anything that actually matters on PlayStation Mobile. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. It's one to keep an eye on. It's been, I mean, we've had talks about PlayStation Mobile for the last few years as they've been hiring up and starting this division and seemingly wanting to make it part of their core strategy as PlayStation. But
yeah,
we've yet to see the fruit. Who knows if we'll see the fruit? You know, we'll have to wait and see
fruit.
On it.
I want to see some fruit.
I'm curious to see how that fruit tastes like, you know. Now it's time for PlayStation Picks. We're talking about what we picked to play on PlayStation this week and the games that have dropped. The drop looks like this. You got Synapse on PSVR 2 on July 4th, and then Garlic for PS4 and PS5 on July 4th. GYLT for PS5 and PS4 July 6th, and then The Legend of Heroes Trails into Reverie for PS5, PS4 July 7th. Greg, I picked Garlic.
Oh, yeah. You went and did the damn thing.
I went and I watched I helped prep KFGD and I saw the game Garlic and I was like, oh, that seems interesting. And then when you guys talked about it on KFGD and Barrett brought the trailer, I was like, dude, this game actually looks pretty dope. It's this 2D platformer where you're playing as this man with a garlic head. It's been out already on PC for a few years.
Does he have a garlic head or is he garlic?
He is garlic.
Okay.
But also he's anthropomorphic. And so
I'm sure.
Both. But the gameplay is basically a Celeste style thing where
cool.
2D platforming
it looks awesome
with short levels. You have a dash mechanic and that's pretty much the whole thing, right? You're trying to beat all these obstacles. The gameplay is very Celeste. The story and setup and aesthetic couldn't be more far off from Celeste, because the goal of this game story-wise is like you're trying to fall in love with this woman who Garlic is very much attracted to. It's very, very, very weird.
Like art style, like, yeah, gameplay, it's like Celeste art style, almost like Undertale-y a little bit with the cinematics.
Yeah.
But the vibes is like, and this is going to be a deep cut for anime heads, bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo.
Yeah.
Which is like, just like that really weird random humor, like almost like, you know, like the anime version of like Deadpool humor almost.
1,000%. Yeah, I think that hits the nail on the head. Greg, of course, this game published by Radalika.
Oh, easy trophy.
2 hours in, I got the platinum. Now, I'm pretty sure I still have like 7 hours left in this game. And I'm going to play the rest of it.
Well, that's the thing about Radalika.
Yeah.
Is that, yes, they do publish a bunch of games that aren't that great. But they publish all games with really obtainable trophy lists. And they do often publish great games.
Yeah. I believe they... Actually, I'm not going to assume. I want to say they might have done Clank 2. I might look that up. But yeah, playing this game is really fun. I'm having a great time with this game. The gameplay is on point. It's a nice filler after not having a Celeste in like years and years, right? Sure. Like coming into this, let's see, Clank 2. Clank 2, also published by Radalika. That's a rhythm game that I really, really like. That's really, really good. Platinum, not as easy. But yeah, it's nice having this thing come in and scratch that itch and remind me of how much I love Celeste, but also, you know, find its own thing, find its own flow of gameplay and get me into it. The platforming is really fun. The style of it is really weird. In between levels, you have these moments of weird mini games that they put in. And so like one of the ones I'll shout out is like they had one where like the camera goes in front of you and you're playing as the Garlic Man walking toward the camera, and like it's like this cool scene where you are now doing this I guess on rails sort of thing where you're walking toward the camera and you are going left and right and you are trying to kick the cans that are on the road while dodging like different obstacles that come at you, and like it's a fun 2 minute bit, and then you get back into the gameplay, and then like, you know, another 30 minutes in, you run into an arcade machine, and now you're playing a Galaga-type game.
Okay.
And every time you lose, the Garlic makes a funny face, and it's a different funny face every time, and it cracked me up. And then you get back to the gameplay, and it just has this weird energy to it that, you know, it's doing its job. I'm enjoying it. It's one of those ones that I wasn't expecting to get into as much, right? Like, I watched the trailer, went, oh, that looks neat, and sure enough, it's this game that I had never heard of that is, you know, really pulling me in at this time where there's not really that many new games coming out. And so shout out to Garlic. I've been having a good time with it and I got the platinum.
Fantastic.
What about you? What'd you pick to play?
You say there's not that many new games coming out. That's a lie. I'm playing Redacted for review. You can look for that soon, but that's been the majority of my time. However, you know, I'm still WWE obsessed. So I jumped back into WWE 2K23. I've of course for a while now, been playing my faction. Whenever I go and buy my pack of cards, I'm always hoping for a Cody Rhodes card because I want to play as Cody Rhodes in my faction, and it never happens. And I don't want to invest real money, so I don't actually go through and, like, you know, buy the money to buy the packs to do it. Well, it's still random. It's gambling. It's a chance. I'll roll with Roman Reigns and John Cena.
I'm a different man. I bet on horses. I bet on PlayStation things.
I know you do. Anyways, this weekend was Money in the Bank, and also, surprisingly, there's a new wrestling game called AEW out, and WWE has just been putting out locker codes left and right and really advertising 2K in the wake of this AEW game, really to drive it, and they finally put up a code for Cody Rhodes. So I jumped in there, got Cody Rhodes. I've been playing my faction with Cody Rhodes, which then I was like, you know what? I never finished Roger, the Locke Perconi story, so I went back and played his Roger story for a little bit. Just back in there wrestling, having a good time. You know, I still love that game, so have so much fun playing it. It was definitely a return to reality coming right off of AEW where I couldn't remember anything. I kept trying to reverse the way you reverse in AEW, and I just got my head kicked in online when I was playing or whatever. But back in, you know, just doing it, it's still a game, even if I'm not going to play. It can be, I assume, how most fighting games are with you, where jump in there, do a few rounds, do a few matches, and then move back on to whatever, go back to the game I'm reviewing and stuff like that. But still playing WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I'm using my faction manager card now, so Greg Miller can manage Cody Rhodes, which is a big deal.
Nice.
Of course, that ended. But maybe it'll be another way to get it soon.
Oh.
But I digress. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been PS I Love You XOXO. We are, of course, your PlayStation podcast each and every week. We are here talking PlayStation, hanging out, and having a good time. If you want to hang out with us, remember patreon.com/kindoffunny gets you the ability to watch us record the show live. It gets you the show ad-free as an MP3 and video. It gets you hundreds, and no hyperbole, hundreds of episodes of exclusive content you can only get on patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can even get exclusive merch. However, if you have no bucks tossed our way, you can get each and every episode of PS I Love You XOXO over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get it, thank you for supporting it. Please like, subscribe, share, leave a review, tell your friends, rate on Spotify, leave the reviews on Apple. You know how to do it all stuff. It's podcast. You listen to a million of them, and we couldn't do it without you. Remember, of course, there's an Epic Game Code for Kinda Funny too. It's the Kinda Funny creator code, Kinda Funny, when you're checking out in the Epic Game Store, or more importantly for a PlayStation fan, when you're playing Fortnite, Rocket League, or anything that uses the Epic Game Store, you can pop in the creator code Kinda Funny and get us a few bucks without costing you any more. We'll be back next week. But until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.